So only one scripture reading this morning. It's from John's Gospel in chapter 6, verses 24 through 35. Let us listen for God's word. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing?" "Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, the theme of John's gospel is that there are all these signs. The miracles are called signs. So, the idea is that our focus is not to be on the miracles, but on what the miracles point to. A greater reality that is available to us. So in many ways, you can say that is the whole point of John's gospel, is to learn how to open our eyes and our ears and our hearts so that we can perceive this greater reality, what I would call the spiritual dimension, the presence of the divine that is always, always present. But what happens, of course, is this requires effort, right? It's not a physical reality. It requires us to develop subtler capacities to match the energy of the spiritual, which is more subtle and refined, but also much, much more powerful. It's like electricity. And so it requires us to match that energy, to learn how to match it in some way, or it will overwhelm us. And so what we tend to do is we're lazy. We get into perceptual habits, and we run the same ideas over and over and over again, and we get bored, and we keep looking for something new and exciting to entertain us or to stimulate us, and we run the same emotional program over and over and over again. And so what I think that Jesus is doing throughout John's gospel is he's using miracles, he's using metaphors to invite us into a new way of being. I think that is the the primary purpose of Jesus' ministry and his life was he accessed this spiritual dimension, and he was trying to describe for us disciplines and patterns of life that would help us to develop that same capacity. And so you remember from last Sunday, perhaps, that Jesus had fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And then he left the place because he realized the people were about to make him king. And then at night, his disciples leave the place on their boat, and Jesus walks on the stormy sea and joins them on the boat. And the next day, when people wake up, they're like, where's Jesus? And so they figure out, oh, they must have fled. So they get in their own boats to go and find Jesus. And it's really interesting how Jesus is not particularly welcoming when they find him. He said, very truly, I tell you, you know, you're coming after me not because you saw the signs, right? But because you ate your fill of the loaves. So what is he saying there? I think what he's saying is the whole idea, folks, is that I'm trying to introduce you into a living participation in this spiritual reality. I'm trying to wake you up so that you can access this stably. It will change your lives if you learn how to do this. But what you're after for me is, you know, the miracles. You want more loaves. You want me to fix your broken, you know, toe, whatever it is. You're still addicted to the material realm. And as long as you're living completely from that, you'll never get what it is I'm trying to offer you. So in one way or another, I think we all do this, right? We all have sort of a transactional relationship with God, whether it's consciously so or not. You know, we kind of come to church and we'll say, you know, God, I really want to get on this path. And of course, we want something from the transaction. It's human nature, right? We all do it. And to a certain extent, I think it's okay, right? Even if it is, I want to experience your reality, God. I think that God understands that we do need to have an experiential access to the divine if we're really going to take the path. We need some bread. We need some spiritual food on the journey to keep us going. But to get that spiritual food, God has to break us of some of our lesser habits. So there's this great medieval mystic by the name of Meister Eckhart, and he said that if we really want to make progress on the spiritual journey, that we need to learn to worship God without a why. Isn't that wonderful? Why are we supposed to worship God without a why? And the answer to that is, if our focus on God is to give us access to a why, then in essence, our heart is still really set on the why and not on God. Again, it is this necessary step of weaning ourselves from the various emotional, mental crutches, right, that prop up this little self, right? If we're really going to taste into something larger and truly more life-giving, then God has to wean us away from these crutches until we are able to receive more of the fullness of the divinity that is always present. Because again, in our lesser developed state, We just simply are not prepared to receive the intensity of the gift, right? So we have to develop this part of ourself that is connected to the divine. So I think what God is, or what Jesus is trying to say is that the gift of God is this the way that God is trying to coax us to wake up. And part of this waking up to the reality of this spiritual requires us to do some inner work and to pay attention to what's going on inside of us. And so it requires us to pay attention to the various animal energies and instincts that are so persistent in our lives. And you know, we lose sight of the fact that we are animals. We are human animals. And so we begin to pay attention to these instincts and these energies that we don't fully understand, but we need to be able to perceive them. And then if we really do that, we can begin also to perceive something in us that can't be reduced to that purely biological energy. There's something in us that is more. It's what Frederick Buechner talked about on my when I graduated from seminary. He preached at our graduation, and he says, just like sometimes you can see something more in a dog's eyes than belongs to a dog, so sometimes you can see something more in a human being's eyes than we normally think belongs to a human being. But it takes some real courage to get there, to let go of our natural defensiveness and fear and posturing, where we can just strip ourselves to our real core, where words aren't necessary, and we can begin to sense this deeper presence in us and in the other, this incredible, vulnerable, naked intimacy of self. So Jesus, you know, he uses different language. He says, you know, don't focus on the food that, you know, won't last. Focus on the food that's eternal. And in some ways, what he's saying is, I am that food, that food that will feed that which is eternal within you. I am that bread of life, that which is true life, your truest and deepest self. I know how to give you that. He said, believe in, but I think really what he's saying is trust in what you see and experience in me and the way of life that I demonstrate to you. It's available to you too. In fact, it's supposed to be how human beings live. And, you know, you just notice the resistances in the crowd. And I think the crowd in this story is a symbol really for just the normal human ego, right? It wants to get the spiritual goodies on human terms, you know, that feel nice and safe and comfortable and familiar for us, right? And so, you know, it says, well, what works do we have to do, you know? And in some ways, I hear in that, you know, echoes of all of our hearts, where, you know, we think, well, what do I have to do, God? Just tell me what I have to do. You want me to go to church regularly? I'll support the church financially as much as I can. I'll try to keep most of the Ten Commandments most of the time, you know, those kinds of things. And Jesus says, this is the true work, is that you trust me and you trust the spiritual dimension that I'm pointing to and the pathway towards really accessing that and living from it. That's the true life. And then the crowds continue to debate, right? Saying, well, you know, what signs are you going to give us? And you know, Moses gave us this manna. And it's their way of saying, you know, prove it. Who are you? Prove it. And this is what happens, you know, when experientially we're cut off from a living experience of the divine, of the spiritual, we often, you know, find escape in religion, you know. And religion, which is not leading us to this deep, vulnerable experience of the divine within, it, you know, it's no longer doing its job. And Jesus is saying, I can give you living access. But it's going to mean that you're not running the show. It's going to mean you're going to have to change. You're going to be transformed. And that's the rub. So I'm going to end just pointing to spiritual practices that I think can open us up. And they're practices. It's not a wave a magic wand and in 30 days, you know, you'll be an ascended master. But it's this day by day practice of quieting the mind and its entanglement with our stories of self and all of our emotional dramas and resentments and escapes and all the rest, and allowing something deeper to come online. And it's there. You can actually taste it. And, you know, these practices have been around for thousands and thousands of years. It was really only in the modern West that we began to debunk these and to not value them. But they're making a comeback, at least in many, many places. And it's really my prayer and hope that they'll really begin to catch on in the church. And I really think that if they catch on the church will have a bright future. And if they don't, I think the church will continue to be diminished in its relevance in people's lives. It's not primarily about beliefs. It's about practices that will change our lives. And, you know, you've heard me talk about them, you know, some kind of a centering prayer practice where we just, when we become aware that our thinking mind is acting, we just gently release our attachment to our thoughts. We've done Enneagram, which is such a great tool for helping us to do self-observation, where it helps us to see what we can't see about ourselves and the false stories that we tell ourselves. And it takes real courage to look at that, but on the opposite end of that courage is a taste of freedom, where these things which are instantaneous in us, we can begin to see them and begin to let go of them, or begin to lean into things that are hard for us to lean into. And as we do, we develop a capacity to be more free. And then the final practice I'll just point to is the one I already have about these Gurdjieffian exercises that I'm going to be deepening. And I hope some of you will be brave enough to taste into that with me. And again, what the real gift in these practices is, you begin to feel the aliveness of your body. And it's marvelous. And that enables this much more subtle and tender energy, which is a beginning taste of the heart of Christ, to be sensed within ourselves. And then in the busyness of our day, to learn how to go back there and to live more fully into that potential, which is there for us all. So Jesus said, listen, it's about the signs, friends. I'm trying to point to you to a dimension that is so real that will change your life and will change the world if we have the courage to take it. Maybe so. Amen.